Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
All right, let's get dive into this series a little bit more from the Ole Miss perspective with our friend Chase Parham, RebelGrove.com, MPW Digital. By the way, you guys, you want a piece of me? You got an MSU podcast? You want a piece of me?
I would, and this is true. I was going to say this at the end of the show. Hey, Dad, if you would like to join forces with MPW Digital, here is an open invitation. I mean, we've said for a long time that like, we love what you guys do, appreciate you.
What are we doing here?
I can't even fight you. I literally was thinking, I'm going to go, hey, really enjoy the product. Love you and Robbie. Everything's great. But I mean, look, you're unavailable. You got a Super Talk mic right there in front of you. You're all branded.
Branded up,
You're over there with Dick Cross doing whatever it is you guys are doing.
He's all politics now, buddy. I don't see him anymore. It's me and Borky. So he's over there talking to the governor about God knows what. I try to stay out of that.
But, yes, no, my guys have done a good job, and we're just trying to get our little piece of the market, the corner, right, Dad? That's all we're doing.
There's enough pie for everybody.
We're just trying to get a piece of the pie. That's all we're doing.
All right, let's talk baseball here. This team was, for Ole Miss, was predicted. I think they were 15th in the SEC preseason.
And they were.
They have definitely overachieved to this point, but at the same time, I feel like they've left some meat on the bone. What's your just overarching take of what this Ole Miss team is?
Yeah, coming into the season, they weren't just ranked 15. They were closer in votes to Missouri than Alabama.
Yeah.
They were actually closer to the show that is in Columbia right now. By the way, I heard you're very paranoid about the Bulldogs heading to Columbia with 0-27.
Missouri, please win.
I'm just saying.
I can't deal with it.
So here's it with Ole Miss is that it's very similar. I mean, Ole Miss and Mississippi State are just following each other around on how this works from you win a title and then you suck a couple years and then you get a little better and then we'll see next year if Ole Miss is in a weird spot again. But I give Ole Miss a lot of credit for having a plan. And I thought the first couple years of the portal, they didn't have a plan. They just went and grabbed some good players. You go get Andrew Fisher, you go get Liam Dole, you get guys who can play, but from a symmetry of the roster standpoint, it didn't look like you hoped it would look, and they suffered in that way. They went 6-24 in 2023, 11-19 in 2024. Pythagorean-wise, both years were at 8 wins. The expected win percentage thing when they put all the stats in, they actually were the same both years. So they didn't really improve from a stats standpoint. Yeah, they were the worst defensive team in the conference last year, one of the worst in the country. They had to get better, and they had to get better in the clubhouse. They had some cancers from a portal pickup continuity standpoint in the clubhouse last year, and their goal was, let's go find older guys who have been just really good at college baseball. Let's forget the prospect thing a little bit. Let's put a group together that can play. They're going to play together, and they have played a bunch and have a bunch of experience, and they did a really good job with that. You look at what this team is, and they go get three outfielders out of the portal. All three have succeeded in different ways. They're all seniors, guys who've played so much college baseball. They fixed the defensive problem in that way. They went and got Luke Chang from Illinois State, a kid that nobody really liked coming out of the portal. Everybody said, oh, he's not going to hit, and he's been banged up. And instead, he's had a decent bat. He has fixed their problem at shortstop. He's an old guy who's played a ton of college baseball. They got really lucky with Austin Folley. They brought him in thinking he was going to be a second or third catcher out of Kentucky. He'd only played 10, 15 career games. He's hit more home runs than any other catcher in the Mike Bianco era to date. A kid that they did not expect to hit. He's played really well defensively. And then they've had some improvement from guys like Will Furness and Luke Keel in year two and some guys like that. Hey, Dad, they're one of those teams that is better as a sum than their parts. They have issues. They are not perfect in any
capacity.
They're
the opposite of state, then.
But they just kind of do everything good enough. They're tough. They play nine innings. And when you look up, and they're in a lot of baseball games. They've been a weird team because at the start of the year, and I know I'm rambling, this podcast, that's fine. At the start of the year, they were pretty good offensively, and they didn't pitch. You thought, hey, this is going to be a problem. They're going to hit a little bit, but can they pitch enough? And Joel Mangrum has done an excellent job in year one as the pitching coach. Mike had never had a dedicated pitching coach as far as calling pitches, managing it independently of the rest of the staff, and handling the pitching from that area. And when you only have a few months in the offseason to get the program ready from a pitching standpoint, you're still tinkering as the year's going on, and you're seeing improvement as it builds. They lost 2 out of 3 to Oklahoma last week, but they only allowed 10 runs the entire weekend in the three games. They pitched it really well. Hunter Elliott is not 2022 Hunter Elliott. He's not a dynamic ace that's going to go give you seven innings every time. But they've just found ways to piece it and put it together and play okay. They hit bad pitching well enough to win games late in weekends against bad pitching, and they've pitched well enough to kind of stay in it against aces, even though they have not done very well on Friday night. I think they are 1-3 or 1-4 in their last four or five Fridays. They've really struggled against premium pitching with Witherspoon at Oklahoma, Liam Doyle at Tennessee, obviously. They lost the game against Kentucky where they only scored four on Friday night and lost in extra innings. They did hit J.D. Thompson of Vanderbilt pretty hard, but it has been an issue where they just do a little bit of everything and they do everything well enough to be in it, but this is not a team that has that ceiling of going to win 20-21 SEC games. And I understand they've thrown some games away. They were one strike from beating Arkansas. They were one inning from beating Tennessee. They did leave them out there, but hey, it all sort of balances out. They also had, we were down in the ninth inning against Florida. They got one of those. They were losing to Missouri in like the sixth in one of the games. It is evened out where I have not felt like Ole Miss has given games away. They just simply haven't hit well enough to win some of those games.
You hit on a couple of things. I wanted to go in a little deeper. You talked about, having some issues in the locker room last year. I think we all know Luke Hill was one of those issues a year ago. He has completely turned it around. He's leading hitter on the team. Today they announced he's the Ole Miss
Yeah.
finalist for the Ferris Trophy. What's been behind that turnaround?
You know, Luke got, I don't want to say a bad rap because I do think he came in a weird spot. Came in, frankly, having to defend off his old program because when he left, Arizona State head coach Willie Bloomquist said, "Hey, we're better off with him gone," and called him out in a press conference and made things sort of public at that point. And he comes in, whether he was hacked or wasn't hacked, he talked about all kind of stuff on his social media that blew up, and it created a problem early in the season. But he settled in, he matured, and Luke Hill was the number one guy that held the program together when everything happened right after the season and the offseason happened. I think he made a choice that he was going to stay at Ole Miss and that he was going to clean up individually on how he responded to things, how he acted, and also be a leader. And for, I guess, state people are aware of what happened, maybe not some of the background on it. And Andrew Fisher had re-upped with the Grove Collective. He was
Right.
staying for the next season. Liam Doyle was staying for the next season. Ole Miss thought they at least had that nucleus. And at the very last minute, right before the portal closed, both those guys get in the portal. You know they're going to Tennessee. Andrew Fisher talked Wes Mendez into getting into the portal, or a pitcher who even wasn't going to Tennessee with them, was just simply getting into the portal. Everybody's asked me why would he do that, and I think it's one of those situations where the more people that do it, the less you individually look bad when you do it. I think it was some
Makes sense.
groupthink when it comes to that. And Luke Hill was the guy that held it together, that helped recruit, that helped put a roster together, that talked to a bunch of returners that, hey, this doesn't have to be another lost season. And he has been nothing but a pleasure to deal with this year. It's been one of the more remarkable turnarounds because, I mean, he pissed people off. Hey, Dad, even in the early part of last year with letting his blonde hair die back or go back to its natural brown color because, every Ole Miss shortstop dyes their hair
Blonde
blonde.
hair.
And
Yeah.
he had gotten off to a bad start last season and let it go back to brown. And he was catching social media and message board strays for just hair color there at one point. So he's been very valuable. He can play all over the infield. He's been able to help them through some injuries in some different spots. Luke Hill, really good college baseball player, and he's a success story compared to last season.
Only at Ole Miss would a man's hair color be an issue. Only at Ole Miss, Chase. Hunter Elliott. If the end of 2022, he was one of the best pitchers in the country. If that's 100% Hunter Elliott, what percent Hunter Elliott do we still have? Because I didn't think we'd ever see him pitch at Ole Miss again, I'll be honest. I thought with the injuries, he would just go pro and start getting paid, but he wanted to come back, and he's been a big piece of this team this year.
If you want to talk about results and what the stat line looks like, he's an 80% version of that. But it's not as complicated as you think. His off speed is incredible, still A plus. Changeup's good. Changeup's elite, frankly. It's a Tanner Hall type changeup from a few years ago. It's excellent. It's a wiffle ball. The breaking balls are good. They're plus pitches. They're above average college and pro level breaking balls. He cannot locate the fastball. The fastball he keeps saying is wild, or he didn't use wild. He calls it lively, but he doesn't mean lively in a good way. He means lively as in it comes out of his hand and he doesn't know where the hell it's going. So he's just in bad counts all the time. And it's a credit to him because Hunter Elliott is maybe the best pitcher I've ever covered in my 20 years of
Ooh.
pitching with. I just dated
Okay.
myself.
Okay.
No, I got a point. Not period. Not
Okay.
period.
Okay.
With with runners on base in trouble. He
okay,
gets
okay.
out of jams. No. Stop, 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 stop.
I was like,
They're not
call
doing
Drew
a Drew
Pomeranz.
Pomeranz.
I'm going to
Like,
call
all
him
this
up
stuff.
and be like, hey.
Yeah. No. I covered a pitcher in 2009, 2010 that finished one vote shy of unseating Bryce Harper for the
Yeah.
Golden Spikes.
Yeah.
So no.
Okay.
But as far as getting out of trouble, as far as stranding runners, keeping composure on the bases, he's the best there is. And that has saved him this year because he walks a lot of guys. He hit four guys in one game against Kentucky. He's really struggled with counts. And it comes in multiple ways. It comes in just simply getting behind and walking people. And then it also comes in as he can't use his fastball as an out pitch because he doesn't locate it very well. So when he gets two strikes, he ends up prolonging the counts and just not getting rid of batters. It runs pitch counts up. I did think last week, even though he lost, Ole Miss didn't score. They got beat 2-0 by Oklahoma, and Witherspoon really shut them down. It was his best outing of the season. He extended his pitch count a little bit, but it's just a matter of the fastball. If you catch a day where the fastball's on, then he looks like Hunter Elliott from 2022. Might not go as deep. Pitch count might not get as high, but as far as just simply production, it's in there, but it's nowhere near as consistent. And it's all about how well he can get ahead of batters and then get batters out with that fastball to set up the changeup and the other pitches.
I think Ole Miss has to win these next two series if they want to host. I think they're on the precipice right now, but if they win the next two, they will be a host when they announce those 16 teams. Is that the general feeling there in Oxford as well? If they can get these next two series, they're probably in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that would be the way to do it. I guess I would say it a different way, but yeah, 17 conference wins, however you want to do that. I guess if there were a sweep of one of these two teams and a 1 out of 3, that would
Yeah.
also get it done. But I don't anticipate a sweep in either series. Yeah, because I think, and we've both seen this, SEC teams have easily hosted at 16 wins in the past. That's happened. Ole
And
Miss has
they
done it
count
multiple
that
times.
Governor's Cup win too. That is an SEC win for the committee. So that's really 18 wins at that point.
But it's another loss too. They got beat 10-0 by Texas
Oh, that's
at
right. I
Globe
forgot about
Life.
that. Yeah.
So they're splitting those two games. And what I've seen, and maybe you disagree, is I feel like the Governor's Cup hurts you if you lose it, but it doesn't help you much if you win it. I feel like it's always an excuse when you lose it to go, kind of just held them out. They
They
had one more
did it
loss.
last year. They won it in
Yeah.
the post. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. But no, metrically, for a couple different reasons. One is, are they going to do the national give a bunch of hosts all around the country thing? Or are they just going to do like basketball and give all the SEC teams to host? Because I've got it up right here. And the top five teams in the country are all SEC teams as far as RPI: Texas, Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, Vanderbilt. So let's assume they're going to host. LSU is going to host. That's eight. That's number eight. That's six. I think Tennessee is going to host. That's seven hosts.
And iffy for them.
It's iffy. It's iffy. But as of right now, they're okay. Also, I think they're going to get benefit by not playing Missouri. I'm wondering if teams are going to get penalized in a tiebreaker if they had Missouri on the schedule versus a team that didn't. But let's say there's one more host spot. That would require Ole Miss to kind of make sure it's them and not Oklahoma or Alabama if we're going to play that game out. Oklahoma's sitting at 21 in the RPI right now, 13 and 11. Ole Miss 13 and 11 at 16 in the RPI right now, and then Alabama at 12. So Alabama's in good shape. They're at 12 in the RPI, 13 and 11 there. So yes, I think given those different structures, I don't think 16's enough. I think for 16 to be enough, you're talking about an RPI of 12, 13, somewhere in there. And I don't think metrically Ole Miss can get there. I think for Ole Miss, the path is 17 and 13 in the SEC and an RPI that's sitting around 13, 14 at that point. And look, postseason baseball would be huge. Ole Miss has not been at home since 2021. It is the goal, but I'm also trying hard not to completely move the goalpost. Ole Miss had to get back into the freaking tournament, and
Right.
they are
Who
going
picks
to
the
get back
team?
into the tournament. So we're talking about the syrup or the gravy here, but at the same time, Ole Miss's goal is simply to be one of those 64 teams that are playing when Memorial Day gets here.
All right. You and I both know that history is more for fans than anything else, but
Yeah.
this series has been dominated by Mississippi State. Even last year when Ole Miss was able to get the three games in Oxford, State won in the Governor's Cup, and then they win the walk-off in the SEC tournament to win 3-2 in the season series. Does that weigh on Ole Miss, specifically, I guess, Bianca, because he's the only consistent through all the years? Does that weigh on them at all?
No ways on fans plenty.
I know that.
It's my message board would say that it, yes, it weighs on people greatly. Look, players, no. I mean, it's so many transfers and portal guys and whatever. I mean, Isaac Humphrey is from Louisville and has no freaking idea what this is going to look like over the course of the weekend, other than maybe videos. I do think Mike has a tendency in some series or some situations to get a little tight. I don't think it changes what he says to his team. I don't think it's altering anything. I don't think it's going to be some major issue, but he's aware. Mike is more aware than I think he acts like sometimes. He knows where they have struggled, frankly, just about state period. It doesn't matter if the game's played in Oxford or Starkville or on the moon. They just haven't won it. After that streak of, I think, what, Ole Miss won the series in Starkville every year from 04 to 14 and then has not won one since then, if I'm correct in saying that. It's a tough environment. And I think what's frustrating for Ole Miss fans, and maybe I'll catch message board flack on this tomorrow and they'll say I'm completely wrong, but
it won't be tomorrow. When they go play, Friday pod, so you're safe.
There you go. All right. When they go play in Starkville, the crowd has had a tendency to rattle them at times, had a tendency to get to them. There is a pressure for the opponent. When Ole Miss plays at home sometimes, the pressure is on them to live up to the crowd.
Yeah.
So they've not been able to do the same thing in either place. And I do feel like, you know, there's some emotional element there, and I think there's some pressing. Wayne State has not been very good at times, and Ole Miss comes in and should be winning the series and getting those games. And then some of it's just baseball because, look, State's been really good for a lot of the last decade. They've been good teams at home in front of big crowds. I mean, Ole Miss has played State multiple times on Super Bulldog weekend over the course of the last 5, 6, 7, 8 years. And really the only game that Ole Miss would point to that's been overly successful was when Doug Nikhazy just shoved it up their tail that one day. So that's, otherwise, it's been a bit of a struggle, and I think it's all those things. I think they have not been able to feed off their home crowd, and then they've been bitten a little bit by the road crowd in the same way, and just a lot of – look, fans hate it, but there is just some element of that's baseball.
I think it's going to be big crowds this weekend too, especially if State gets the Friday game. That Saturday game, I would expect close to 14,000, if not more.
Did it completely re-energize everybody? What happened?
So, yeah. I
know it's your podcast, but I got questions too.
That's
go
fine.
Ahead.
I think that's exactly correct. When they lost that for the Florida series, I mean, I was just like, all right, they're going to get Auburn will beat them. Ole Miss will beat them. Missouri, you know, what's funny about Missouri is Missouri's kind of had State's number the past few years. They lost 2 out of 3 to them the year they won the national title. And then they lost the next year. They went to Missouri after beating Ole Miss. And you think, okay, they took 2 out of 3 from Ole Miss. They're going to turn the season around and get to the postseason. They lost 2 out of 3 to Missouri there. They lost to Missouri last year in a game that probably kept them from hosting, to be totally honest. So Missouri's kind of they had Lamonis's number a little bit. But yes, you're right. There was a complete rejuvenation because you had a lot of State fans who were just sort of torn. They were like, I don't want to cheer for State to lose, but I don't want Chris Lamonis to be the head coach anymore. And so what do I do? And now it's just like, I can just cheer for Mississippi State. The crowds last weekend were great.
Okay. One comment, one question, and then I'll let you get back to it. One comment is that I will go on record and admit here, because I'm on a Mississippi State podcast, that I have predicted that Missouri is going to win a baseball game next weekend against Mississippi State.
I can feel it in my bones, Chase.
I am doing that partly because and Missouri's the team I punch more than anybody in the conference on podcasts outside of A&M and Tennessee. I can't stand them, but I punch Missouri just because they shouldn't be in the league anyway. They should be in the Big Ten. They don't fit in, and they get on my nerves.
Yeah.
But I feel badly for them. I would like for them to win a game. I would like for them to just win one. Well, I turned it over there on Sunday when they were tied with Georgia 2-2 in the ninth inning, and I said, maybe this is it. 5 seconds later, Georgia hit a two-run home run, and I turned it back off, and I went
with
it.
They have A&M this weekend. Maybe they can get one from them.
Maybe so. Maybe they'll get one against A&M, and that'll be it, and they'll go 1-29, and State will get its all three of it. Because here's what's funny. State fires Lamonis. They're going to make the tournament unless they get swept by Ole Miss. They're going to get in at 14-16. They're going to be a 3-seed.
If they sweep Missouri. But even then, Chase, State's resume is not good. They need 2 wins this weekend. They really do.
You think they need to get to 15?
I think 14 would be enough, but it would be really tight. Those Missouri wins are not quality wins. They're quad threes. And State only has, I think, with beating Kentucky, they only have like 10 total quad one, quad
they're
two.
They're 5-16 against quad one, 4-2 against quad two.
Nine,
and then
yeah.
they went.
There are a lot of what we would call group of 16s or mid majors that have 12, 13, 14 wins in those groupings. So State's.
And State right now has a worse RPI than Ole Miss had when they snuck in 22, thanks to John Cohen.
That guy.
So
you're welcome.
Just saying.
So, all right. We will see. Will you be in Starkville?
One day. I'm doing the middle day. Mother's
Saturday.
Day I'm not doing, and then Friday night with the whole, like, me and my parents used to live in Amory, so I'd leave there and come back and just stay there and go
Yeah.
back. But now,
All
nah.
right. Well, we'll see you Saturday at Diddy Noble. Chase Parham,
Sounds great.
Rebelgrove.com, MPW Digital. Tried to snake me out from Super Talk right here on this very podcast. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, bud.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.